The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Blackhawks Talk podcast. I am Pat Boyle, joined on this episode with Slavko Bekovic. We talk to Charlie Rameliotis, an emergency podcast, with the very latest on Adam Boqvist being recalled from Rockford and Kirby Dach staying with the Blackhawks for the season.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Charlie Rameliotis and Slavko Bekovic join me now on the Blackhawks Talk podcast. Big news this week as the Blackhawks make their way to the West Coast. Adam Boqvist, the former first-round draft pick, will make his NHL debut. And the big question is, I guess, will this be for, you know, just 9 games? Will we see more of it? And will he burn the first year of his entry-level deal? Charlie, just your thoughts on Boqvist being called up.
Yeah, Pat, it's interesting for a couple reasons, and I think that the first one is that they didn't need to call anybody up, and there wasn't a corresponding move to come with it. They had room for one more player on the 23-man roster with Connor Murphy on long-term injured reserve, so now they're carrying 8 defensemen, and it's just interesting because the second point is it's not like Boqvist was lighting it up in Rockford. He only had 1 point in 6 games and scored his first goal on Wednesday. Now, you wonder if they wanted to just get another right-handed shot up there. The power play has been dry. Are they looking for some sort of spark, especially what happened in Nashville where it didn't look like they had a lot of speed on the back end? So it's an interesting timing of the call-up because it seemed like when we talked to Jeremy Colleton a week ago why they called up Dennis Gilbert instead of Boqvist for Connor Murphy, it sounded like they just wanted to continue letting Boqvist develop at his own pace down there in Rockford and work on his defensive skills. So, and the fact that the Blackhawks are on the road too, it seems like they want to get him right away here.
So right now, the question is, how do you incorporate him and what do your D pairings look like? I think we all agree that Seabrook is probably going to be in on Saturday against the Kings. That means that one of Cuckoo or Gilbert would have to come out. Then you're trying to put Boqvist. So maybe is this a message, and I think, Charlie, you and I kind of touched on this earlier before the podcast. Maybe this is a message to Erik Gustafsson. He was on the ice for 2 of the 3 Bonino goals in Nashville. The power play has not looked good lately. Boqvist is certainly a specialist in that regard, and like you mentioned, that right-handed shot. I mean, how do you think that they'll be incorporating him?
Yeah, it's a good question, Slavko, and I think my mind went straight to Erik Gustafsson when I thought about this because, you know, he's in a contract year, right? He's a UFA this summer, and he's been underwhelming to start the year. The power play has slipped to 30th now. I don't think they're getting the production that they were looking for out of Gustafsson. So maybe what's happening here is I wouldn't be surprised if Gustafsson is a healthy scratch on Saturday in L.A. because I do think that Seabrook is going to be back in the lineup. And that means maybe 2 guys have to come out if you are incorporating Boqvist into the lineup if they don't dress 7 defensemen. So I don't know if they'll put Boqvist on the power play right away. They might just want to ease him into the first game, but I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe give him a lot to handle here because, like Pat mentioned at the beginning, he is a slide candidate for this season. So if he doesn't appear in more than 9 games, his contract won't be burned. But if he does, the first year will be burned. So maybe they want to give him a look between now and when Connor Murphy is ready to return, which is in about 7 games or 7 or 8 games when he is eligible to come back from LTIR. But I think they might ease Boqvist in, but at the same time, down the road, I think they really do want to give him a look at what they have in him and how he's progressed in the pros.
You mentioned Gustafsson playing, you know, in the final year of his deal, trying to live up to the 60-point mark that he put up a season ago. Does it seem like he's being asked to defend first, and maybe that is taking away from his offensive flair?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, Jeremy says he doesn't want – it's all about a mentality, right? He doesn't want Gustafsson to take away what he's good at in the offensive zone, but at the same time, he does want him to defend well in the defensive zone, and it's not a give or take with offense defense. It's you can still be a good defender but also generate offense. So I don't know. I don't know if Gustafsson is having a hard time maybe putting defense first in his – mind, and it is taking away from his offensive game because he usually does get that power play, you know, the power play confidence, especially last year when he started quarterbacking the power play. He was one of the driving forces, and it became a big confidence builder for him. So the fact that the power play isn't generating either, it might be factoring into his confidence also.
When you look at what the pairings could potentially be with Boqvist, we know he has to play on the right side. We know since Murphy went down, Calvin DeHaan has been moved over to the right side, which is pretty new for him. I think for me personally, DeHaan back to the left with Boqvist would give you some good balance. But last year we did see with Henry Jokiharju, the Blackhawks used Duncan Keith as a bit of a buffer to get him and his feet wet in the NHL. Where do you think he might slide in, and who do you think would be on the left side with him?
So I think if Seabrook does draw back in, I think they'll keep the top four the same. They'll keep Duncan Keith, DeHaan together. They'll keep Seabrook and Mata together. And then I think they might, I know it's going to be a young third pairing, but keep Gilbert and Boqvist together because that's who he's been playing with down in Rockford. And maybe they've developed some sort of rapport. But this is assuming that Gustafsson is out of the lineup on Saturdays or if the Hawks do not dress seven defensemen. It'll be interesting to see how the pairings are, but I wouldn't anticipate them sliding Boqvist into a top pairing or top four role immediately. I think they do want to let him get his feet wet a little bit and then maybe up his minutes as the games go on.
The other big news after the Nashville loss was that Kirby Dach is going to be with the Blackhawks for the remainder of the season. How did you look at this? Did you look at this as A, the third overall pick is ready to play in the NHL, B, it's more necessity, or C, they felt the best growth for Dach is having him in their arms, so to speak, and not back in Saskatoon?
I think it's a little bit of both when it comes to the first two questions. As far as the third part, I think it's the right move to keep him in the NHL if you're going to give him a larger role and keep him in the top six role. Like if he's only going to play 11, 12 minutes a night, like I don't see how that benefits his development. But if you play him 13 to 16 minute range and you're giving him some special teams, like they're giving him a lot to handle right off the bat, putting him at second line center. And, you know, he was drawing the Ovechkin matchup in his first game and he handled it really well. And I look at what happened last year with the Montreal Canadiens' third overall pick, Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Like, he only played above 13 minutes, right under 14 minutes a game last season. He was kind of just trying to survive. And this year, his offensive production hasn't been there, and he's barely above 13 minutes. So I don't think you want that to be the case with Kirby Dach. Like, you want to do something like Elias Pettersson in Vancouver, where I know he went back a year, but he was the fifth overall pick. And when he made the jump to the NHL, he was playing 17, 18, 19 minutes a night for the Canucks, and he won the Calder Trophy. So you don't want to hold the reins back on Dach. I think eventually you do want to incorporate him into some power play time. And I think if you do that, it is the right move to keep him here in the NHL all season.
Steve Conroyd was on the podcast Tuesday night after the loss in Nashville, obviously trying to figure out what the heck is going on with this power play unit. Nylander has been pretty – he's been okay in that bumper role on the power play. But Steve brought up potentially putting Dach in that spot. He's got the reach. He's got the size. He's a right-handed shot, which works well with Kane on that other side working the half wall. Do you think that we could see that sooner than later? Or how do you see them potentially upping his minutes if they are going to keep him around, which obviously they've decided to do?
Yeah, I think eventually he would be an ideal candidate for that bumper spot or just being on that top power play unit. But the fact that they haven't done it yet, I would probably ease him more into the second unit somewhere just to maybe get his feet underneath him and get used to playing how they want to on the power play and how they move the puck around. But, I mean, Kirby Dach should be playing on the power play, and eventually I think you would want to see him on that first power play unit. If it's still not clicking and, you know, if Dylan Strome is still on that second unit and they're not getting the production from the first unit, Dach has to eventually move into a power play role.
All right, last one for you. You were front and center in Nashville for the Brent Seabrook latest healthy scratch, and there seemed to be some confusion over what was told and what wasn't told. And, you know, he was told on Sunday he wasn't going to play against the Kings, and maybe the conversation didn't take place again before Nashville. What was your biggest takeaway from that whole situation?
Yeah, I think there was just some miscommunication over the conversation that happened on Sunday, where, you know, Brent said he didn't, you know, he was told on Sunday that he was out and that was it. There was no conversation. And Jeremy elaborated on it later, saying, well, there was a conversation. And it's not like they just went up to Brent Seabrook and said, hey, you're out on Sunday. You know, they gave him an explanation, or, you know, whether it was Colleton or the coaching staff. And so that part, it was maybe it was a little bit overblown, but it's a tough situation to be in, because when Joel Quenneville scratched him in January of 2018, it was a message at the time that we have a defenseman. He's going to get right back into the lineup. And, you know, it's just kind of, I don't know if it was a second of a back-to-back over there too, but the fact that Jeremy healthy scratched him for a second straight game is a larger message as to maybe where his standing with the team is, and the fact that Jeremy is trying to do whatever it takes to win hockey games, and he'll do anything, I don't know how it resonated in the locker room to the veterans that have won multiple Stanley Cups with Brent, but Jeremy is making it clear that he will do whatever it takes to win hockey games moving forward.
I think you've got to give Colleton a lot of credit for making a lot of these tough decisions. I think we all expected Crawford to kind of be the number one guy, but he's been riding Leonard a little bit more because Leonard has played so well. You know, he put Nylander at the top to start the season, scratched him, and Nylander's response has been great. And, you know, we've heard Jamal say it on the post-game show, just because you are a scratch, that doesn't mean that you can't come back and play better. That's kind of the whole point. Colleton's certainly not afraid to send messages. If we see Gustafson out, not to speculate too much, but if we see Gustafson out over the weekend against the Kings, again, that's kind of another message sent. How much credit does Colleton deserve, and how tough is it for him as such a young coach to handle these tough situations for veteran players that have been here for a long time?
Yeah, it is tough. And I think you do have to give him some credit, whether you agree with benching Brent Seabrook for a second straight game or not. Like, he's making it clear that he's not going to do anything where he wants to win hockey games, and he'll make those tough decisions. And I'm sure it's not just him making the decision. They discuss it as a coaching staff, but he's in a tough spot where he's coming in here. I mean, Brent Seabrook was a former teammate of his, so this couldn't have been an easy decision for him. And the fact that Corey Crawford, obviously two Stanley Cups in Chicago, and he's riding the hot hand in Robin Leonard right now. So, I mean, credit to him for the way he's handling how he wants to go about winning games, and he'll do anything that it takes to do it.
Charlie, great stuff. Safe travels to California. We'll be talking to you on Blackhawks pregame live Saturday night from Staples Center.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
So that's a wrap on this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast. Our thanks to Charlie Romeliotis and Slavko Bekovic. Coming up on our next edition of the podcast, we chat with Mike Kelly of the NHL Network and the Point Hockey. We get an analytical, in-depth look at the Blackhawks' rough start to the season. That's coming up on the next Blackhawks Talk podcast. We'll catch you next time.